Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1, and we'll begin at verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Before we begin, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I praise you for the privilege of being able to share your word. I ask you to keep me out of the way. Don't let me get in the way. Help the words that are spoken to be your words. Help there to be understanding, and not just understanding, but help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And that you will be glorified through these things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'll go a little bit faster through. I want to be, for time's sake, I want to be respectful for that, but I want to be able to share with you. Pastors told me that I'm coming up with some programs for outreach, and obviously I've seen that, yes, you do already have outreach. You're really reaching out to people with the gospel. That is extremely important, and this is part of what I want to share, but I may be preaching to the choir, but maybe there's someone who is not. But even if it is preaching to the choir, I want to encourage the choir here, okay? I want to encourage you because I believe very strongly, and I'm not going to argue with anybody about it, but the idea that, you know, people say, well, the book of Philippians is about joy. Yeah, well, joy about what? And I believe if not the theme, at least a very strong theme of the book of Philippians is the gospel. Paul says, hey, I rejoice and rejoice. What? For your fellowship in the gospel to this day and now. He says, you know what? I'm in jail, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's helped to the furtherance of the gospel. He talks about Timothy. He says, you know, Timothy's, he's just like me. He's like a son of the faith. He cares about you guys. You got Epaphras, you got a, you know. Paul was so very keyed about the gospel. And they couldn't stop this man. I love it because he says, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. I'm going to preach to everywhere I go. I mean, he say at the end of his life, and this is a convicting statement, but you know, I could, hopefully could say this, but I don't think I can. He says, no matter where I've gone, I have not failed to preach the gospel to every single person I met. Haven't failed. You know, I hate to say it, but I haven't done that. We need to. But Paul says, I'm going to preach everywhere. So what do they do? Okay, we're going to stop you. We're going to put you in jail. Okay, that's fine. I'll preach to my guards. He talks about preaching to his guards and then getting saved. And then he says, okay, fine. Then we're going to preach instead of you. And then we'll get the credit and not you. He says, let everybody preach. I don't care how many people. Let everybody preach the gospel. That's the whole point. And then he says, well, fine. Then we're going to kill you. Wait. Live as Christ, die as gain. I got to go to God? Go ahead. How are you going to stop a guy like that? You can't. And I want to encourage us. We're going to talk about this evening the goal or the focus. By the way, this is in Spanish. I like to joke about this. This is in Spanish, but do not worry. I will be speaking in English, not in Spanish here, but this is one of the sermons I had from over in Bolivia. So it is in Spanish right now. But it says, el enfoque, it means the focus. What is your focus? What is your goal? You know, these days we have the idea, what is your goal? What is it that drives you? Why do you do what you do? Or, and then we can all get into a rut, do you do it? I know as a minister, I can be over there and I can preach sermons, I can reach people, and I can do it just because this is what I do. And there's nothing really there. There's no impetus, no drive. I want to encourage us that we're part of a team. What is your focus? What is your goal? But first off, we see in verse number 27 of chapter 1, it says, only let your conversation or your manner of living, the way you live, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Another way of putting that, the way they put it in Spanish, it says digno. It means worthy. You're worthy through him. Now, we talk about, for example, we have this thing going on with Harry and his wife and, you know, the family, and Prince Philip just passed away. You know, when you see royalty, you expect them to act a certain way, right? If you have this position, and unfortunately it hasn't, I'm going to try to stay off the politics, okay? You know what? When someone's in a position of leadership, they should act like it. We are Christians. Christians was not a good name when it first started. It started in Antioch, but it was a derogatory term, you little Christ followers. Yes, thank you. But you know what? It wasn't a great term. But we are Christians. You know when I'm over in Bolivia? My kids are very obvious. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who my kids are. They know where the gringo lives. You may go over there and you don't know where I live. Just ask somebody, you know, where's the gringo live? Yeah, they'll tell you. Everyone knows where I live. Everyone knows me. I know a lot of people, but a lot more people know me than I know them because they know where the gringo is. And you know what? My kids represent me. My son, he has blue eyes. Where'd he get them from? Me. You know what? What they do represents me. We are Christians. Everything that we do represents Christ. I guarantee you there are people who know you go to this church. And this testimony, I guarantee you, when there's, like we had today, going out and visiting, when you go out and visit, I guarantee you there are people who know, hey, this person goes to that church. Let me ask you, if someone who knows you were to have someone visit their house, what would they think about the church through your testimony? We say, well, I'm not important. Yes, you are. We're talking about having a team here, you know? You need to have the goals and understand what the rules are. For example, you got basketball. You're not allowed to kick the ball in basketball. That's illegal. It's a penalty, okay? You get the ball to the other team for kicking the ball. Well, soccer, try touching the ball with your hands if you're not the goalie. That's illegal. It's important to know the rules, right? Well, the Bible says, walk worthy of the vocation which you're called. You're a Christian. And I want to encourage you, and I've already seen it, and I'm not saying anyone's perfect, but walk like a Christian. Walk to a way that your testimony is a benefit to witnessing. So when this church goes out and witnesses, it's not like, oh, that church. Oh, I know that. I know someone that goes there. I want to encourage you. And I'm not doing this to derive anybody, but I want to encourage you. You have a part. You're important. What you do as a body of Christ is part of this work. Now, for example, if I'm hammering nails and I hit the wrong nail, yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. I got 9 more, right? Uh-uh. That's part of my body. The Bible says, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one's joyful, we're all joyful. Why? We're part of the body. If I smash my finger, it's not like, oh, no big deal. No, I'm holding that thing. I'm protecting it. Why? It's part of the body. You're part of the body. I went to, when I got in here, amongst other things, setting up the table, and went to go to the restroom. You know what? Your bathroom's clean. You say, well, so what? Well, because someone cleaned it. Oh, well, that's not a big deal. Try having a dirty bathroom and find out how many people show up next service. It's important. Every single one of you has a part in the body of Christ. Your testimony is important. And I want to encourage you in that to walk worthy of what you're called. And with this point of how we're supposed to walk, the rules, so to speak, you know, they're talking about the goal here, the rules, walk worthy. Number two, in this point, it doesn't matter who's looking. It says here that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Once again, the gospel, it's in there, the gospel. He says, it doesn't matter if I'm seeing you or not. And I love this because sometimes we have this where you have somebody, when we do something wrong. I love this. What do we forget? Right? God sees it. You're not hiding anything from him. But even if you could, why? You know, you are a Christian. Act like it, whether or not pastor comes to your house. I'm not going to try not to step on toes, but by the way, if you have a movie on and pastor comes over to the house and you have to turn it off, should you have it on? If you are out with friends and you're speaking differently with those friends than you are over at church, why? I want to encourage you to do what is right, not because, well, pastor's going to watch me, he's going to see. Not just when you're in the teen group here, okay? When you're at home, when you're with your schoolmates. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doing what's right because it's right. The Bible talks about the word sincere, and actually in Spanish, sincera. Sin means without, cera means wax. It's just the exact same thing as in Greek there. The idea that when you'd have your vase and it would crack. They would fire it up and it would crack. Well, that's useless. So what they would do, someone who wasn't very honest, he'd take wax and he'd stick it in the hole. You don't see it. It doesn't look bad. But then someone who understood this would take it and put it up to the sun, and they'd see that crack. You know what? You need to be sincere. You need to be without wax. You need a life that is real, that if you are put up to the scrutiny, it fixes. It actually matches what you say. And I want to encourage you because, yes, we are doing that over in Bolivia, and we're not perfect, but we're trying. But you know what? You can do the same thing here. You have just as much of an opportunity to reach people with the gospel right here, but God just puts you in a different spot. I mean, we have our military. You know, you're based at Fort Benning. But you can go all kinds of different military bases. But you do the job you're supposed to do where you're put. And I would encourage you to do that. It says, being also working together, one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is the whole idea. You're a team. What is the goal of the Christian walk? The goal of a Christian is to reach people with the gospel so God's glorified. That's the whole point. God's glory. And through reaching the people, obviously you cannot reach people the wrong way. We understand that. You can't say, well, I'm going to reach people this way. Well, that's not glorifying God. The whole point is to reach people with the gospel so that God gets the credit. Not because, well, look at me, I reach these people with the gospel. So what? You're part of a team. And what the team does is more important than what the individual does. You can have a guy that scores 50 points, but if your team loses, so what? And this is the point that I'm trying to make. We have a couple distractions. We're going to go through this quickly. We have a couple distractions that we have in this goal of working together as a team to reach people with the gospel. Now, what are these distractions? It says in verse number 28, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition," or being lost, doomed, "but to you of salvation and that of God." They think you're doomed when you're really saved. So this is a good thing. They think it's bad. And it says, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Wait a minute. "Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." We've read about Paul, right? We hear all about how Paul was, he shipwrecked this many times, beaten these many times, stoned to death and raised from the dead, all these different things, Whoa, you're telling me I got to have problems? People have this idea, well, the Christian walk is without problems. Which one are you reading about? I haven't read that one, Now, we would get discouraged or get distracted when we get attacked from the outside. When people yell at us when we go to witness to them, doesn't that I don't want to talk to anyone else. I don't want them to yell at me. Well, I don't want to talk to my friends about the gospel, teenagers. I don't want to talk to my friends because that's not cool. They'll make fun of me. Now, remember, what is the goal? If you have someone, the goal is, let's say basketball, scoring the points. Well, let's say like for football, for example. You got, say like 5'10", about 200 pounds, 210 or something like that. So I got a 300-plus lineman coming at me, defensive lineman, getting ready to crush my quarterback. Now, he needs a couple more seconds to throw that ball. I'm going to try to block this guy. You know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get destroyed. But I just might help my quarterback get those two extra seconds for him to get that ball off. Now, is it going to make me look good? Am I going to be on SportsCenter with this great block? Well, no, probably not. But is my team going to win? Yeah. And that's more important. You know what? We have the attacks from the outside and we want to quit. Well, they shouldn't have treated me that way. You're probably right. They shouldn't have. Well, they shouldn't yell at me. No, they probably shouldn't. But that's not the point. When we have the attacks from the outside, what do we do? It says very clearly, verse number 1 of chapter 2, it says, "If there be for any consolation in Christ." You know what consolation is? Comfort. It says here in chapter number 4, "The peace of God which passes all understanding keeps your heart and minds." It's going to guard you. It's going to take care of you. It doesn't make sense, but it's there. Is there a consolation in Christ? Absolutely. It says, "Any comfort of love." I mean, we're going through a little faster here, but look, comfort of love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that there is absolutely, positively nothing on this earth that is created can ever take away the love of God, period. God the Father is the judge. Jesus Christ is the one who is my advocate, my lawyer, and he paid the price. So who's going to tell him no? Nobody. There's absolutely nothing created that can do that. The only thing that's not created is God. The only one who can decide to not love me is him, and he's not changing his mind. He loves me, period. And so, we found out, like I said, I'm trying to stay away from the politics, but power in the wrong hands is a very dangerous situation. But someone who has power, who loves me, who actually cares about me, that's a very good thing. And my God loves me. Well, these people are attacking me. Well, if God be for us, who could be against us? Right. The whole idea is, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ who strengtheneth me. Well, I can't do it. No, you can't. That's correct. Neither could Moses. Moses said, I can't speak. Okay, fine. Who made your mouth? I know what you can do. No, I can't speak. Fine, I'll send you with your brother. Aaron didn't do a whole lot of talking. Why? Because Moses could do what God said he could do. It's pretty simple. If God tells you to do something, you can do it with his help. And I want to encourage you, when you have the attacks from the outside, to go to God. It says consolation, fellowship of the Spirit. We'll go quickly. Like I said, fellowship. We have fellowship with believers, it says in 1 John. Fellowship with God and with one another. He's with us the entire time. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. We have bowels and mercies. We have that Valentine's Day with the hearts. Well, in the Bible times, it wasn't the heart, it was the gut. Let me ask you guys, the first time you fell in love with that young lady, where did you feel it? It wasn't here. It was down here. You felt it in the gut. You know what? God loves us unconditionally. And we have those bowels and mercies. He cares for us like a father cares for his children. So when you have a problem, you get attacked from the outside, go to him. I guarantee you he'll handle it. He's a father. He loves me. He's all powerful. And he loves me. He'll take care of it. So I want to encourage you with that. When you have someone that yells at you, don't worry about it. Go to him about it. Well, I'm not really sure. God, help me to do this. He can help you to do this. But don't quit because you have the attacks on the outside. You're never, ever going to do something that the other team's going to like. You score points, the opposite fans are not going to like you. Why? I mean, because you have different players. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of, you know, you have some of the, may not have heard of them, some of the younger guys, but you got Dennis Rodman. Now, for the Chicago Bulls, oh, the Chicago fans love Dennis Rodman. Other players, oh, they hated that man. Why? He wasn't on their team. He wasn't doing anything for them. Now, you do some really silly things. Oh, yeah. But he was on their team, and he helped their team. You know what? People aren't going to like it. This world's not going to like it when you live for Jesus. They're not going to. Why? Because they got a different agenda. They got a different goal. And so I want to encourage you, when you get attacked from the outside, go to the fortress, go to God, and he will handle it. The second distraction we have is the internal distraction. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know what strife is? Fighting. The book of James says very clearly, fighting comes from, I want something, I don't have something, and I'm going to do anything up into including killing somebody to get it, because it's all about me. No, it's not about you. It should never be about you. If you have a team that is fighting on the sideline, one of two things is true, or both. One, they're already losing, and that's why they're fighting. Or number two, they're just about to lose. You have a team that's fighting. I mean, you have the soldiers. You know, you have some soldiers out there, and they're fighting their own unit. That's not going to go too well. You got to trust that guy. He's got to have your back, literally, with that gun, okay? We are on the same team, and too many times we're out fighting each other because it's all about me. No, it's not. Well, how dare they treat me that way? Well, it's not about you. I am a missionary, but I thank you for the prayers and support, but I am not the most important person. We are the body of Christ. The time that I get the big head is the time I'm in trouble. We need to keep in mind, it's not about me. It says strife or vainglory. If I have a brick and I have a balloon, I'm talking the big balloon. Which weighs more? The brick. Why? It's got substance. It's real. The balloon's full of air. We like to do that. We like to, look at me. There's a story of for the kids sometimes, there's a frog, a little baby frog, went to his daddy because he'd seen a cow. Oh, it was so big, daddy. Was it this big? He puffs himself up. No, much bigger. He puffs himself up more. Keeps on puffing himself up until he blows up because he's all proud and want to show how big he is. We do that. Pastor hasn't told me a thing. I have no idea. Maybe I'm just doing preventive maintenance here. But basically, you are as important as God has made you. You have a job, but you are not any more important than any one of these people. Every single one of you need to work together for the good of the gospel, for the good of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you in that. The distraction, my biggest enemy is me. Okay? We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know how to get away from the world. We're in it, but we kind of work our way around it. We know about the devil, but the flesh, he's a spy, you know? He's working for the old guy. He's working for the old ruler, the one who used to be in charge of your life. You ever seen the movies where he opens up the gate and lets in the bad guys? He's that guy. You can't trust your heart. Well, all these movies talk about follow your heart. Are you kidding? There's no way. My heart is messed up, as is yours. You cannot trust it. He's working for the other guy. So instead of fighting and saying, well, it's all about me and you need to do it, no. It's about him. My goal should be to make God look good. That's what my goal is to reach people with the gospel. And if I'm not making him look good, if I'm not reaching people with the gospel, then why am I there? You got someone who's not doing their job. They're playing basketball. They're just sitting over there in the corner. Get that on that bench. You're not doing anything. God, by the way, God is in charge, but we get the privilege of being able to be used by him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. But I want to encourage you. When you get the attack from the outside, go to God. When you get attacked from the inside, it says, how do you take care of it? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Just quickly, the goal and the success of the team is more important than my success. Me looking good is not as important as the team looking good. It's not as important as God looking good. And I want to encourage you in that. And this is not to say, well, you're not important. You are important. But the whole goal of you being on this team, I mean, why did God save us and then not take us to heaven? Because we still got something to do. He could have said, okay, yeah, you're saved, now let's go home now. No. Okay, you stay here, you get working, I'm going to come back for you later. I'm going to prepare the room for you so you can come live with me. In the meantime, I'll give you the Holy Spirit to take care of you. I'm not leaving by yourself, But while you're here, you're the light now. I was the light. Now you shine my light to these people. That's our job. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Finish up with this, the great example. It says very clearly, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I say, wait a minute, wait. He's God. That's not a fair comparison. Well, let me ask you, has anyone ever in the Bible found a passage where Jesus used his power for himself? Anybody? I mean, he fed the 5,000 and then later on the 4,000, right? Did he feed himself after the 40 days of fasting? No. He didn't make any food for himself. Well, he healed people. He raised people from the dead. Did he heal himself on the cross? No. He never once used his power for himself. Not once. You know, that to me is actually more difficult. Like, it's like a millionaire not paying for his own lunch because this guy's going hungry. I'm not going to eat it myself. He's got millions of dollars, but he's not paying for his own lunch because this guy's going hungry, so I'm not going to eat either. That's what God did for us. He says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? The idea of grabbing hold of something. They had that phrase, you know, taking candy from a baby. They say, oh, it's easy as taking candy from a baby. You ever tried it? It's not easy. No, it's mine. They're yelling and screaming, making you feel really embarrassed with this big guy trying to take candy from a baby. Jesus could have said, you know what? I have every single right to be glorified. I am God. Glorify me. He didn't do that. It's my right. You know what? We have to give up our rights. That's not easy. In this day and age, it's all about justice and my rights and what's fair. It's not about what's fair. It's not about your rights. It's giving up your rights so the team wins. Like I said, well, they shouldn't treat me that way. No, they shouldn't. But that's not the point. Well, I shouldn't have to do without. No, you shouldn't. But that's not the point. Am I being cruel? No. This is the way Jesus did it. He loved us that much, so he gave up his rights. The only two times he showed it was at the resurrection and at the Mount of Transfiguration. That's it. He had every single right to show off who he was, and he didn't do it. He gave up his rights. And it says he gave up his reputation. A lot of times we're too worried about what other people are going to think about us. You know, when we're growing up as teenagers, oh, I can't have them laugh at me. That's like the worst thing in the world. And I'm not belittling it. It's an embarrassing situation. But you know what? He gave up his reputation. He became a human. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what people thought about him. It mattered what God says. He says, you know what? I do what my Father tells me. It's not about me. It's about what my Father says. I just do what my Father says. That's the same attitude we should have. It's not about my rights. It's not about my reputation. And he went so far as to sacrifice everything. He says he went to the death of the cross. He did everything, gave everything for me. If it was me, you want to make fun of me? Okay, you're going to hell, and you're going to hell, and you're going to hell. He didn't do that. He said, you know what? They said, well, if you're really God, come down from the cross. He said, I can't. I'm saving you. Pretty much what happened. He says, I love you, and it doesn't matter how you treat me, I still love you. Now, is it easy? Not in your life. Is it possible? Absolutely. I love to remind my daughter about this. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, am I a perfect example of this? No. Please pray for me that I would do this. I want to, like Paul says, I want to actually do what I'm preaching. Okay? Pray for me that I would do what I am preaching, but I want to encourage you. In the end, he says, verse number 9 through 11, he says, he got everything back. He gave everything. He lost everything. And he gained everything. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the whole point. Reaching people with the gospel, sacrificing everything so you can win everything. You know those guys, you know, you got these guys who are, you know, playing and then they're willing to give up part of their salary, you know? Why? So they can get some more players. Why? So they can win. They're going in there and they're playing sick. They're playing hurt. Why? So they can win. We're Christians. Our goal must be to reach people with the gospel. That's what Jesus Christ did. He saved us. And someone said that the idea of witnessing is one beggar telling the other beggar where to find the bread at. I'm not any more important than anybody else. But hey, that first time that I met my wife, you know what? I was telling other people about it. That first time that you met Jesus Christ, remember that excitement you had in your heart? How it's just like, wow, He loves me and He saved me. And you want to tell everyone all about it. Don't lose that. That's why we are here. Now, are we a perfect example of this? No. But can we do it? Yes. And I want to encourage you as a church body. Pastor's talking about reaching out and having these programs is getting ready to come up. But you are a part of that. Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a missionary. That's not the point. You're part of the body. You're part of the team. And what you do matters. And I want to encourage you, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by the attacks from the outside. Go to God. Don't get distracted with your embarrassment or your laziness. Your success is not as important as God's success. So I want to encourage you in that, because God gave us the job. It is possible. He's never going to give you a job. It's not possible. But I want you to have that desire to do it. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank You and praise You for the privilege of sharing today.